Okay, if there's a passage of scripture that I am asked over and over and over to read at a wedding.
Oh.
Everybody knows. Yep. It's called the love chapter.
First Corinthians 13.
Here's something I've never done. I've never read that, taught that in regards to parenting.
Which would be really helpful, right?
I mean, it applies to everything, but think about parenting, and especially parenting maybe a prodigal or a wayward adult child.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com or on the Family Life app. This is Family Life Today.
We have Mary DeMuth back in the studio with us today.
You said her name right.
I did say it right.
Mary, welcome back
to Family Life Today.
So grateful to be here.
I'm a little upset. They won't let me say your name because I guess I don't know how to say it. But I'm glad Ann introduced you, Mary. D whatever.
Your book is Love, Pray, Listen, Parenting Your Wayward Adult Kids with Joy. And we've spent a few days talking with you about how do you do that. It's one of the things that brings real angst to us as parents. Mm-hmm. And to parent our maybe a wayward child with joy, that feels even harder. And Dave, as you said, we're bringing 1 Corinthians into this because, Mary, you went through this scripture and really broke it down and how this applies to us as parents with adult kids, which is kind of amazing that you brought this scripture into this relationship with adult kids. But I like that we're doing that.
It's an important scripture, and it's basically just unpacking what is love. You're answering the question, what is love demonstrated? What does it look like? And so it made sense to me to say, okay, this is kind of a test. When you have a wayward adult kid, it's a test of your love, because it's very easy to love those who love you, very easy to love people who are making the decisions that you approve of. Mm. It's hard to love someone who's, you know, maybe making the kind of decisions that will break their life. Mm. When your kid is 2 or 3 and running out into the street and you're able to grab them, you can prevent them from doing a life-changing decision. But once they're out there in the world, the stakes are higher. It's harder.
It feels like they're still in the street and we can't.
It feels like they're still toddlers.
It feels like we can't grab them. We can see where they're going. We can see the destruction it could cause. And now as an adult parent, you cannot grab that child and bring them to what we think is safety. So it's really different.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you've studied this. I'm going to read it. You know, you can pick any part of it that you want. I know your book takes each chapter is a part of this. But I remember, because I was asked so many times to use this in weddings as a pastor, I remember, I better understand this. So when I did a study of even the church, 1 Corinthians in Corinth, and I was amazed that nobody talks about this. This is this beautiful statement on love. But Paul is sort of, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote it, he's sort of exhorting them to say, you're acting like kids. You're in division. Your love is not adult love. It's kid love. Here's what mature, godly adult love looks like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you read it that way. It's like, whoa, he's sort of slamming them a little bit. Like, guys,
he's a little angry.
Wait up to this. Yeah, and again, it's so beautiful that we read it with music under it. And it's
not
beautiful.
Just for marriage.
No,
it's for life.
You talk about for parenting kids. But I'll read it, and then you can make comments. Paul wrote this, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends.
It's so convicting, especially when you think about this with our adult children.
So, Mary, teach us, enlighten us.
The Greek word.
Well, by the way, what you do with the Greek words in your book is fascinating. I mean, I've studied them, but man, reading through it again, I'm like, every parent needs to understand these because you dive in and say, here's what Paul's really saying.
Yeah, I mean, just reading, I wish that I was fluent in Koine Greek, but it was very helpful to go back to the Greek to really expand the meaning. A couple of the things that stood out to me as you're reading at this time, the envy and boast was hard for me when I got to that part in the book because I was like, what in the world does this mean for parents of adult kids? And so I talked to my husband about it and he goes, I think it has to do with when we constantly compare ourselves to other families and we either envy them because, well, look, these kids were like raised by wolves and they turned out okay. I did everything right and mine are like making all their choices. And so we envy seemingly perfect families, or we become so proud of the way maybe our kids turned out okay and we become like little Pharisee people, really proud and boasting about our parenting skills. It's kind of like when you have one child who's easy and you're like, I'm the best parent ever. And then the next child comes and you can't boast about your parenting skills anymore and you just cry all the time. It's like that. Like, you can't boast about your parenting because we're all on the same level field, playing field as the cross. And we also don't have the ability to pull back the veil of every single family. And so that kind of freed me up, and I hope that it helps other parents say, maybe a part of my discontent is I'm comparing my family to this other family, and they seem to be doing great. Why me? It's hard. It's something you go to back to the Lord about, but really, as I mentioned before, we're only responsible for our own walk with the Lord. Hmm. We cannot walk our child's walk with the Lord, so we just have to work on this.
And it's interesting, you know, we live in a culture different than the culture we grew up in, where if you wanted to compare to people, you had to see them at church or in the neighborhood.
That's like on your phone.
Know, you get the Christmas card and you go, whoa, they're living this perfectly. I was just, for whatever reason, I was reading through a book we wrote on parenting called No Perfect Parents, and we asked our three sons to write in it, thinking
brave.
Parents would rather read what our sons wrote than what some parent says. And one of the things Austin said, who's got four kids now, is he said, when you get the Christmas card and everything's perfect in their life, rip it up and throw it away. That's what he said in the book.
I don't remember that he said
do
that.
Do not compare yourself to that family. Not that there's anything wrong with that family, but he says, you're going to look at that and you're going to go, oh, we're missing it. And that's exactly what he said. And it's actually what Paul's saying. Don't envy and boast.
Yeah.
So there's the pride side, but there's also the envy side where we compare every day now on Facebook or Instagram or you name it, and we just feel less than.
Do you think kids feel when we're comparing them? Because we do it in like this secret. I remember picking up this Christmas card and I said, you guys, their seven-year-old read through the whole Bible this year, you know, and our boys are eating, and I think they picked that up. Like, what are we then? Did you ever compare your kids or compare yourself?
No, we're sitting with a perfect mom here.
I just need her. I need her to be real with me.
I'm going to be real. Yes, of course. I think all of us do that. And especially when you're an insecure parent, like I was, of always trying to figure out how do I parent when I didn't have an example. I was constantly also just learning from other parents. So I was watching them because I learn better by watching them, by even reading a book. And so I was constantly comparing my parenting to others. But also, yes, like look at how those kids live. I remember one particular time when my kids were younger and someone told me about this book that I had to read. And it was very, it was kind of a robotic way of parenting. I won't say the name, but I started doing it with my kids and they looked at me like, what happened to our mother? Like, what is wrong with you? And I wanted robot kids. It made more sense to me. Like if you have robot kids that always obey you on the first time, I'm like, how nice is that? It didn't work out. And so we left the robot kid book behind and we just were ourselves. And I think that's part of parenting is you learn to try things on different sides.
Yeah, and you put this comparison, even if you don't know you're doing it, you put it on your kids and they feel the
totally.
Way. I remember, you know, years ago, and I don't want to say which son this was, but it's going to come out somehow. But I was started to help coach high school football at the local school. And my kids were all three going to go through there. So I coached them when they're little, and the head coach there asked me to coach there. So I thought, this is going to be great. I'll be able to influence young men. And I did chapel for the team as well. But I'll be able to be on the field with my sons. And it was the summer, and they're doing summer training. And they had to run and run and run.
Sweat.
And I remember this is my first day. And I walk over, and the kids have been running. And one of them, the kids, is laying on the track. He quit. He's just laying. Everybody just finished like a 400, and he's laying there. And I remember walking up thinking, what is that loser kid doing? He's that out of shape? You don't lay down. I mean, how bad is that? I walk up. It's my son. I was like, no. And I remember saying, hey, get up. I was so embarrassed. I mean, any other kid would be like, dude, you know. But my son, I remember driving home like, you will never. And it was all about me.
Mm-hmm. You were embarrassed. You
know, he was just like, I was exhausted. I'm like, I don't care. You don't lay down. I think I would have been nicer to another kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was not as nice to my own kid. And it was like, I am comparing, you know, and it's easy to do, especially if they're not walking the perfect little Christian life we expect them to walk. That's a big one.
How about this one? Love is not irritable. And Mary, you break down this word. Do you remember what that means in the Greek?
Irritable.
That's
I think it's
what
like
it means.
Testy and touchy and basically easily set off.
Yeah.
We live in a culture that has deified irritation and has said that if we're going to be heard, we have to be mean. I just don't get that. I think that's not how Jesus would act. Not that he wasn't truthful at times, obviously. He did say pointed things. So I'm not saying don't say pointed things. But I think we are kinder to strangers than we are to the people in our homes and to our grown-up kids. Mm. And especially around, you know, I think a lot of things happen. And this is where part of the book came from was during the last election cycle, we saw a lot of parents and kids have conflict because there was this nastiness of vitriol going back on both sides, all political parties, back and forth to each other. And I just feel like we need to tone down our language and understand that there are humans on the other side of the pixels. We have kids that have estranged themselves from their parents because of their parents' views on Facebook that have been very, very kind of nasty on Facebook. We have parents who have separated from their kids because of their kids doing the exact same thing. And it's not a worthy thing to divide over.
Hmm.
If we're going to talk about the gospel, the things that we divide over are the essentials. Everything else is peripheral, and we need to learn how to have kindness.
Mm. I'm thinking about when our kids were little, and these emotions would come out of me that I thought, where is this coming from? And then I would think, these kids are making me like this, like crazy or mad.
Yeah.
And I remember one day I felt like God was whispering to me, and see those things that are arising in you, those are the things that I want to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering about that with our adult kids. If we see these emotions mm-hmm. or even sin rising up within us, do you think God is whispering, oh, I want to heal that? Because Jesus wouldn't respond like that. I've never thought of that. I've thought about it when our kids were little, but now with adult kids, is Jesus just always healing us? You know, he's like, oh, I see that. I'm going to help you with that, Ian. Because we tend to think we've got it all together now. We're adults. But could God be using our adult kids to help shape us spiritually?
And I think that's where the humility comes in, this humbleness of even being willing to hear from our adult kids and asking open-ended questions and asking, how can I be more accommodating to you? Or what sets you off when we're in a conversation, and be willing to hear it? But yes, paying attention to when you like go off.
When that, you're irritable.
Yes, when that happens, it is a sign that there's something broken inside of you. And it's usually around the idol of control. You don't have the control that you want. And a lot of us, and I'll raise my hand, a lot of us worship the idol of control. And when our kids leave our nest, we thought we had control. I mean, there were instances when we didn't, but we had this like modicum of control when they were under our roof. When they left, we realized it was an illusion of control. And now we know that there's no such thing as control. I cannot control another human being unless I'm an abuser. That to me is, you realize the importance of surrendering to the Lord and saying, I don't know the answer to this question. I don't know how to love my adult kid. I'm angry at their political views. I don't like what they view about sexuality. I am brokenhearted and I see them going down this road that is making permanent decisions that is breaking my heart. But Lord, I surrender it to you. Obviously, I need to be healed, but I also need you to help me because I can't do this without you.
Yeah, that's really good.
I mean, that's beautiful. And I'm also here, my mind goes right here. And then 10 minutes later.
Meanwhile.
You know, because you do, that you have these, they're beautiful parenting moments like, I've got to let go. It's even, love does not seek its own way. The selfishness in us, I want this, it's not happening. Okay, I've got to surrender. But then a half hour or an hour later, they'll post something, they'll say something, I'll see it, and you find yourself back there again. So is it just a continual surrender for as a parent?
It has to be, and that's basically the Christian life, is a continual yes. surrender of, I can't. And I think a lot of us that grew up in the parenting culture that, you know, in our era, we thought that a good parent was someone who had it all together, who did all the right rules and obeyed all the right things and implemented all the right programs. But I think that the best parent is a surrendered, broken parent. And so we just need to display that and say, I cannot do this. I think that's part of so much of the angst of parents of wayward or prodigal kids is this control of, I can't fix this. I'm the parent. I should be able to. And to just say, I can't. You can help. That's my big prayer. I can't, you can help. Really boring prayer, but it works.
I was reading in Judges this morning and the story of Gideon. And I circle my Bible whenever it says, and they cried out to the Lord. And they cried out to the Lord. And every time it will say, and he heard them. And so as you're talking about talking to the Lord about this, he hears us. He hears those cries. He hears the humility of saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. And as we were talking, I was thinking we can be irritable, but there's another part of us that starts pulling way back from our kids. When we feel like we just can't get along, if maybe we feel like they don't even like us anymore, and so we start to withdraw. What do you think about that? Is that a bad tactic?
You know, again, that's going back to the Holy Spirit being the director, because I think sometimes the Lord says, pull away for the sake of your sanity, pull away for the sake of healing. Sometimes he says, pursue them even when it hurts. Pursue them even if you are going to be hurt. So it really depends. I don't think there's a one size fits all, but there have been times where my kids have had to pull apart from me and my husband. And there's been times where we've had to for a short period of time, and that's okay. Sometimes you can't see clearly when you're enmeshed in a situation and you have to kind of get that 30,000 foot view and go, oh yeah, I really was a jerk during that time. Or I really do need to be healed, or I really was counting on my children to make me joyful. It's just pulling apart with the, with always with the heart of Jesus, of we all want to have a spirit of reconciliation, and we always want to have that hope, but also understanding Romans 12, it talks about, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. I can control my apology. I can control what I do, but I can't make them apologize and I can't make them come back to me. So in those waiting spaces, you pray and you surrender.
That's wise.
Yeah, and I think, you know, where Paul starts, love is patient, is so hard. I mean, I'm sure it was hard in his day, but in our day, I mean, everything's so instant. I've literally stood in front of the microwave and said, hurry up, a microwave. It's going to be ready in 30 seconds. And I'm like, sort of like, so when you take that mentality we live in with our children, it's a long, long journey that we often just give up because we lose. And then you get to the end. I'd love you to hear your thoughts because he says, love bears all things. Here it is. Believes all things and hopes all things. Because it takes long and you're not, I'm not so patient, I stop believing and I stop hoping. What do you say to a parent that's gotten to that place?
First, I hear you, I see you, I weep alongside you, and I dignify the pain that you're in because it is very hard. And I've been in those places before where I'm like giving up. It hurts to hope. But then I have to go back to the fact that Jesus can do the miraculous. And I've seen him do it over and over. And I think what has helped me, and this metaphor came to me this week, I was in this kind of conflictual pain. And the Lord said, what if you looked at your life as if it were a choose your own adventure movie? And instead of, you know, just being mired in right now, look to the future and see that it's going to be this wild adventure. And if you're having a hard time, look backward and see the faithfulness of God and recount the faithfulness of God that he has been to you in the past. Remember that and let that be the framework that you go forward with. And that's what I've talked about before is we have to lament, we have to hurt in order to see the tiny ways that God is working both in our lives and in the lives of our adult kids who are going astray.
I mean, I think for all of us, hope is so critical. Because when you lose hope, I mean, you know, you said as a little girl, you had sort of lost hope and you were thinking, I'm going to end my life. And when you lose hope as a parent, it almost feels almost as bad or worse because you feel more for your children than you, we even do our own ways.
Maybe we could take just a second as we're talking about being gracious to our kids. Many times as parents, we are not gracious to ourselves. In fact, we're really hard on ourselves. So could you speak to that parent?
I'll just be speaking to myself. I think a lot of us have that where we're just so hard on ourselves because we think we should know better for whatever reason. And there may be a key there of learning to be compassionate toward yourself if you can learn to be and choose to be by faith and ask God to give you the strength to be gracious to yourself or the strength to see yourself as he sees you as a work in progress, but beautiful. If we can do that, then we tend to be less judgmental of others because we've graced ourselves. But I'll say that as someone who struggles to do that. I'm not there yet. I'm still struggling in that area.
I think too, as we pray as parents to give it to Jesus, we've already talked about that many times, to release it, but to also not go ahead. Many times the enemy paints a scenario of horror for the future of our children. And I'll run that path, man, all day long. Like, oh yeah, this could happen and this can happen. And so then I end up in fear, which then tends to make me more controlling. And Jesus is saying, just live today. He's in scripture. Don't worry about tomorrow. And as a parent, that's really hard to do. And so to release it, to give it to him, to stay in the moment, to ask him to help take our thoughts captive so that we're not running along that line of despair for the future. I think it'd be so helpful just to pray for parents, for Mary. Like, would you just pray for parents that are just struggling right now?
Jesus, we thank you for this moment in time, and we thank you for every parent out there who is, oh Lord, they're carrying a heavy burden, and I pray that they would release it at the foot of your cross. I pray you would take it up because you promised that when you give us a burden, it's light. But we've been carrying the weight of our children's decisions, and they're just too heavy. Lord, I pray that you would help us to lament. I pray you'd help us to grieve. I pray that you would help us to not lose hope, but to trust you. I pray that you would bring joy every single day, even if our kids make decisions that break our hearts. Lord, we lay our hearts at the foot of the cross. We lay ourselves. We lay our control and that illusion of control there. I pray for the family and the parents who have been estranged from their kids. And I pray, Lord, even in the hearing of my voice, that you would turn that around right now in Jesus' name. I pray that you would inaugurate more missions, more ministry in this generation of parents, and you would set them free to spread your gospel. And Lord, let it begin with us. Let it begin in our homes. Teach us how to love our adult kids with 1 Corinthians 13. 16 in mind. Lord, we're just broken human beings who need you. Thank you for being broken for us. Thank you for loving us well. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was so good. I think of the parent listening who's like, could you just pray for me every day? And you do that in your book.
I do.
At the end of every chapter, there's
a
prayer.
In my podcast, I pray for people every day.
Yes.
So.
And yeah, listen to your podcast.
And I was thinking God's running to that parent.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you think sometimes, no, God loves, Dennis Rainey said, God loves the prayer of a helpless parent. Mm-hmm. And we're helpless, and he runs to that prayer. He's on it right now.
I love that prayer that Mary just prayed for us. Learning to forgive ourselves and asking for forgiveness is so profoundly important. When we make a habit of confessing that we're completely hopeless without God, we'll approach parenting with the kind of humility that changes us, our kids, and the world, regardless of your kid's age. I love that. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with Mary DeMuth on Family Life Today. You know, Mary's written a book called Love, Pray, Listen, Parenting Your Wayward Adult Kids with Joy. That book answers kind of, you know, really important questions that I think many parents are asking in this life stage. Questions like, is it possible to hold on to my joy when parenting is so hard? If we're honest, I think all of us have asked that question. And other questions like, what do I do when my kids make choices that don't align with my values? They're going ways that I don't want them to go. Well, Mary's book answers those questions and so many more. We think it's an important book, and it's going to be our gift to you when you partner with us financially. You can go online to familylifetoday.com, or you could give us a call with your donation at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And if you'd like to make a donation through the mail, feel free to drop us something at Family Life, 100 Leichhardt Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32832. You know, here's a fact. The U.S. Surgeon General has declared an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And the question really is, could you be the person God puts in your community to pull people closer to each other and to him? I think so, if you're willing. Well, maybe a small group is just what your community needs to connect, at last, with God and each other, while you press into your own faith at the same time. You know, we're offering an unmissable 25% off all small group materials, some of them just perfect for those who haven't yet met God. So pick from engaging, trusted titles and authors like David Ann Wilson's Vertical Marriage, or studies tailored to your group's specific needs, like The Smart Step Family from Ron Deal. Our studies are low prep for leaders. Yes, you love to hear that. So you can focus on connecting and listening rather than scrambling and sweating at the last minute while you're trying to put chips in a bowl and drinks out on the counter. Preview our studies in today's show notes and grab 25% off for a limited time. You can learn more at familylifetoday.com. Now, tomorrow, David and Wilson are going to be joined by Mark and Dee Jobe. They're going to be talking about parenting when you ask the question, what now? How do I move into the next season of life after my kids have left the home? That's coming up tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David and Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.